Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, blimey. I think you've absolutely smashed it. And then your audio interface stops working about 4 minutes before you're going to start streaming live. One hasty restart later, inexplicably we're on time. And here and everything. And how are you? How was your week? Tell me everything. How were you with World Mental Health Day yesterday? Because, guys, no one is talking about it. Yeah? No one. I wish someone would. Please, someone talk about mental health, okay? I see Mick Wright is ready to go. Thank you for that, Mick. Charming. So, coming up, we've got some new suggestions for World Days for you. We've also got a fabulous audio column that someone sent in describing American Christmas and how that works. We have the return of the much requested Game Saves feature, which I'm really pleased about, with writer-performer Bebe Lucille. But, well, we start because we must with the... Come off it. Where's the jingle? Come on. There it is.
Every day the papers pop out and the streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can penetrate the rampart of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
And there he is by the skin of my teeth. Good morning to you.
Good morning, 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 good morning.
You see, I come away from this podcast every week and I think, oh, I've got this list of great things that I'm going to do. And I thought, I'm going to get, what's the guy's name that you're on Times Radio?
Matt Chorley.
Matt Chorley.
Matt Chortles Chorley.
I'm going to cut together every good morning he says over the next week, and then I'm going to play it to you just to hurt you because I love you and I've got issues. But, I didn't do it, and I'm sort of cross with myself now for not having done that.
I love the level of production you put into these
full
segments.
Full commitment. It gets my fullest...
You know, for the listener, I get an email from Jake about 7 a.m. on a Monday morning saying, what we did then? What we could do in this
Don't
slot?
Don't tell me you never did your homework on the bus. Of course you did.
I always did my homework ahead of time because of crushing anxiety.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To generate my own anxiety. It's, you know.
It's good. Artisanal anxiety.
Yeah. One of our duty listeners, Jem, he's big on artisanal business. So, you were talking this week in your fabulous newsletter, brokenbottleboy.substack.com, about how the columnist's view of history is sort of like the Mr. Men.
Yeah. Well, we sort of cover, it feels like this is like, you know, like history goes in cycles, so this slot goes in cycles. I feel we've talked about this before, but one of the most deranged things in the newspapers this weekend, and I'm sure some people might have seen it, was in the Sunday Times, illustrating the latest slab of fan fiction loosely based on a true story by... paper's recently promoted chief political commentator Tim Shipman is the red flag, the communist red flag, and on it,
yeah,
you've got Engels, you've got your Lenin, you've got your Stalin, and then at the very end you've got Boris Johnson, who according to the Sunday Times is a red Tory. We're talking a man here leading a by almost all measures a far right government, but apparently he's a Soviet now. Interesting as well to see that they've just knocked Karl Marx off the end of the flag. Karl Marx is gone, and at the opposite end, replacing him is that well-known Marxist Boris Johnson. What's interesting about this is, you think about it, if you go back to 2019 election and the way that the Labour Party manifesto policy around expanding broadband provision was framed not just by newspapers but in BBC straplines as broadband communism. When you see this and you see a Tory government being described by the right-wing press as you know, or framed in this way as a, as are they almost kind of like statist communist government? It's about reshaping the Overton window, you know, what is acceptable policy, to squeezing it down to the size of a cat flap, effectively.
Yeah. Well, because, see, in your book, you know, broadband for all would be some sort of, I don't know, levelling up.
Yeah, I would think, and isn't it funny, during the height of the pandemic, people were saying, do you know what would be really good is if we had better broadband because we all need this, we're all relying on it a lot more. And you just think, yeah, funny that. Funny that it's not actually as ridiculous a policy as it was framed. And obviously there are plenty of things wrong with the 2019 Labour manifesto, but that one, the way that one was framed was insane. And this kind of thing, this kind of it's just bizarre. I mean, how can you frame yourself as a serious political commentator and have your byline picture sat beneath an image that puts Boris Johnson beside Stalin, Lenin, and Engels? It's just it's a level of historical illiteracy that just it beggars belief. I almost, as I was writing about it, I just thought, well, this is so stupid. Oh, I swore again, sorry.
Apologies.
It's so stupid that it's almost not worth talking about. I just should have, the newsletter should have been like just a picture of that. Yeah. And me just pulling, you know, a bemused face. And then this is while we've got Boris Johnson is in Marbella, staying in a villa owned by Lord Goldsmith.
What's wrong with that?
During a time of crisis, and we've got the press from the FT to there was someone from the FT and someone from the Guardian on Times Radio yesterday, which I was listening to as a sort of form of self-abnegation.
Why do you do this? Why?
But they were both asked by Tom Newton Dunn, a man who I would just say, for legal reasons, I would just say, look up times that Tom Newton Dunn has been mentioned in relation to employment tribunals at The Sun. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, hang on, because you got to understand, this is a newspaper famously called The Current Bun.
Yeah.
You know, this is the paper that loves the Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tom Newton Dunn, Industrial Tribunal at The Sun. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just look that up. But anyway, so
yeah,
Tom Newton Dunn asks Jim Pickard of the FT and Gabby Hinsliff of the Guardian, well, what do you think about Boris Johnson going on holiday? And they both said, oh, you know, he deserves a foreign holiday. He hasn't had a foreign holiday in a year. You know, it should, you know, it's well deserved. And you just think, well, we have no plurality in the press, do we? You know,
From
broadsheets to rags, they just all agree, oh, well, you know, he deserves a foreign holiday. I haven't had a foreign holiday in, let me think, about 15 years. But you know,
right.
Let's, you know.
I'm going next week.
Huh? Well, there you go. Yeah. Also, I mean, one word, you could say, well, you know, obviously after his jokey performance at the Tory Party conference and the reshuffle in which he moved a lot of people around it, he was exercising no rabs before mobs.
No rabs before mobs.
I had to get that joke in. That joke was in the newsletter yesterday, okay, but look, I'm going to recycle it.
Here's my shoe and here's my attempt at historical Mr. Men. I don't know if you remember the 1970s TV series narrated by Arthur Lowe.
Re-showings of it.
This is my attempt at it. Here we go. There you go. It's the best
Excellent.
I could do. I hope
Excellent.
That's all right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the point of this being, and then what we have elsewhere in the Sunday papers yesterday, the front page headline of the Mail on Sunday was "Home Working Left Britons at Taliban's Mercy." Then you flipped.
Well, did we not lock any of the offices? Is there a caliphate now in Oxford Street?
And below that was a They Live style white on red logo that said, demanding, get back to the office.
Wow.
Which is incredible. And then you flip in a few pages and you find Ian Duncan Smith, who proves that, you know, the thing that we learned from cartoons where if you get a bonk on the head, it changes your personality. That hasn't worked with him. Or it may be that traffic cones just aren't the right object to do it. But anyway, he wrote...
Do you know, every time I see him shortened to just his initials, I always read it as irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes. So Ian Duncan Smith gets a full page in the mail on Sunday yesterday for a piece headlined, in the 1940s, they kept coming to the office, even when Hitler's bombs were raining down.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Coronavirus, famously... Like the Blitz, famously like that.
That's right.
The other thing to say about that is, actually, if you look into the history of it, many offices in central London were moved to locations outside of central London. The notion that we just went, oh, just keep them all there, it's fine. You know, yeah. The other thing, of course, is coronavirus it works all day round, whereas the lazy Luftwaffe only works at night.
That's so true. Yeah. But you talk about this. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, she caught bomb off someone who had bomb two roads down. They'd gone to the same supermarket and fingered the same packet, the same tin of sardines. Yeah. And she caught bomb off a bomb a couple of streets away. That's how bomb spreads, you see. It's exactly the same as the coronavirus. Yeah.
What you do is when you bring your shopping home, you have to wash it down. Well,
just to wash off the bomb. You never know if there's bomb on your washing.
So that's yesterday, right? And today, Claire Foges.
It's all paywalled. I'm not giving the money
today. Claire Foges, the Times' famously rational person, who a few months ago wrote a column about how we need more strong men like Erdogan. So, you know, that tells you what. And has written many columns about her dislike for gypsies, Romi and traveler people.
Wow.
Her column, the headline is, don't bet on a hard winter toppling Johnson. We've got used to a degree of chaos during the pandemic, and many secretly enjoy the chance to show some Blitz spirit.
There you go.
This is a column written in a serious newspaper by a woman being paid a vast amount of money for these kind of insights.
Yeah.
The thing about the Blitz spirit is a
gin.
Is a propaganda myth.
Okay.
Blitz spirit is a gin, but it's also a propaganda myth, right? There was during the Blitz, there was a huge amount of looting. There was a vast uptick in rapes and violent crime, and
singing,
and many people
and
were,
singing.
Yes, and many people were seriously mentally affected by it for the entirety of their lives. The thing that you'll get, there were a few weeks back, there was a column, it may have been even, I think it was Richard, might have been Richard Littlejohn, but it was someone in the Daily Mail who said, yes, the picture of the milkman walking through the rubble isn't real, but what it represents is real. And you just sort of go,
okay,
right, that's where we are with it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't, what's true or false doesn't matter.
Room 101, that, isn't it? That's probably, I love that description. I mean, because let's bring up Orwell, because all the columnists do. The bit when he finally starts to see that 2 and 2 can make 5.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that's what we're told consistently. And for me, the notion that you have a well-paid, comfortable columnist saying this, well, okay, go and live on Universal Credit throughout this winter in a flat that is poorly insulated, making choices about whether you're going to feed your children or turn the poor heating on, and then tell me that you are reveling in the Blitz spirit. These people can say this because they could go, oh, well, I couldn't find my favorite type of biscuits, so that's equivalent to the Blitz, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be writing about this later, but one of the things that I've been thinking about is... my gran doesn't go to the supermarket anymore. She gets this. My dad sorts out this shopping for her and delivers it to her.
Because she doesn't want to catch bomb.
No. I've got a serious point.
I'm being really, really. It's awful. I'm just doing awful jokes and you're talking about really serious things, including mental health, mate, which no one's talking about.
No one's talking about it. It's never spoken about. No. Well, she turns 90. this coming year, but but a few years back, I used to go to the supermarket with her, and I was thinking about the fact that she now lives in a world where she can just buy cream cake, right? Just buy a cream cake off the shelf. Really yeah. enjoys that. Like she would. Whenever I've talked to her about the war, and she was a teenager by the end of the war, so she was, you know, a youngish child at the start of the war.
Yeah.
People of her generation who grew up with that fear, you know, and actually in those conditions, because you remember the privation of the war goes well into the 50s, like rationing goes on for ages. They do not look back at the Blitz and go, oh, what, oh, you know, and
wonderful days.
And go, oh, wonderful days. They think we've gone beyond that, right? And yeah. when you talk to people, to, you know, obviously most of them are dead now, but people I've talked to back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, talking to people who had served in the war, and they don't, you had to really draw it out of them to talk about the war. Mm. And when they did not give you this Sunday afternoon matinee film version of what it was like.
No.
And it is insane. It is just insane for someone like Foges to be writing, oh, people secretly enjoy a chance to show some Blitz spirit, a propaganda myth. And actually, it's offensive to me that you talk about, think to back to the wartime generation, and this notion of constantly bringing it back to say, what they were trying to do was have a world that wasn't like this. You know,
yeah.
a world where people could have live better life. To say, oh, well, yeah, we should all toughen up and...
But
yeah,
I mean, this is
glad
a sort of,
that there are food shortages.
This is universal.
It's maniacally insane.
I want you to take some mic time at some point today. This is a universal trope, though, isn't it? That the people who are sort of who've lucked out, who are in the okay half, always think that the system serves the lower half extremely well. As Boris Johnson famously saying, we need inequality because that's what makes people. You know, try harder and get places yeah. and stuff. And, you know, Cilla Black was the same, you know. So, well, I worked really hard and, it, you know, these people just don't want to work hard. I know that Cilla Black is not necessarily a preeminent person that we should be cross about, but maybe we should.
She was notoriously rude on planes.
Yeah, and everywhere. Can I just check with you because I don't really understand. Like I don't really have a handle on anything at all at the moment. But
I thought that was your brand.
Increasingly so. I'm trying to occupy that niche. So I want to effectively de-splain rather than mansplain. I want to literally make things less understandable. Is boosterism simply saying, oh, look at that. That's great. Is that basic? Is that what boosterism is? Because everyone's talking about, you know, Johnson's boosterism, and it was wonderful to say, British Steel's the best in the world. It's got the fullest, richest flavour. And everyone kind of goes, right.
Boosterism
then.
Is like, boosterism is, so, you know, the end of the Italian Job where the coach is hanging off the cliff.
No, but
I've
seen the big bus.
And the bus, yeah, and it's the gold is sliding towards the back, and the bus is about to fall off the cliff. Boosterism is going, well, we're British, we'll get the cut. There's no, it'll be fine. It'll all be fine. It's a wild optimism,
right.
You know, in complete ignorance of the facts, but also an optimism that comes from the fact that you know that whatever happens, you will be fine. So at the weekend there was Saturday edition of the Daily Telegraph, Camilla Tomini wrote, can the Tories really afford to not be the nasty party? And she was demanding that they have more teeth. But of course, you can demand that the party in government has more teeth when you are entirely confident that you will never be the one who gets bitten.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be some juicy jackboot procurement contracts being handed out in due course.
Yeah, two people who've never made boots before but have roughly have an idea.
Well, then that could maybe that will work out. That could work well. Mick, yes, go on. And finally,
I was just going to say,
heartwarming good news story.
I'm sure
102 year old.
I hope the viewers and listeners have enjoyed me bringing them down as ever, refusing to make jokes and instead just howling.
No, it's brilliant. It's the sort of Bill Hicks model. Sometimes, you know, you fight fire with fire. If people are in a bad mood, talking to you and discovering just the fury that's flooding your poor toxified system. it's like a day at a spa for us. Thank you for paying.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Yeah, we appreciate it. If you'd like to pay Mick back, you could and you should. It's brokenbottleboy.substack.com. His newsletter's free, but then you can get a subscriber one, and it's really great. You get loads of extra stuff, and it's basically all the good stuff. Twitch.tv/brokenbottleboy. Will you be there at one?
I will.
Excellent.
You never are, but you thank
no,
you.
No, I never am. I really hate myself for that. I really do.
Where's the effort?
I just add it to the list. The effort comes in the two edits that I've now got to make before I publish this podcast.
Oh, because people can't handle the F word.
Pete.
Oh.
Bye, Mick.
Bye. See you next week.
Okay, bye. Bye. You can WhatsApp Jake, yeah, on 07862 032 654. I should say hello to some of the people watching on YouTube who've made themselves known. Good morning to you all. Hello, Julie, Martin, Steph, Jem, who's very excited that we use the word artisanal. Sounded his klaxon for that. Darren, good morning to you. And Pablo, how do? And many, many more, which means there's probably a couple of others that I've missed. Sorry about that. Oh, look, there's Gemma. Good morning. Neil says, hello, Neil. He says, Mick, next week, can we have a story about a dog that talks? Or maybe an oddly shaped fruit or vegetable? Do you know, we should totally rebrand it. I don't know if he's listening now, because, you know, homework and all that. But maybe next week we should. I'll play the That's Life music, and we can pretend that he's Doc Cox. I gather you found a very funny story in the newspaper. That's a great idea. That would be the ultimate baiting of that poor, tortured man. Anyway, normally around this time, you'd expect to be hearing the spleen of John Holmes being punctured and hosed directly into your ears. That's a lovely image for you. He's away at the moment. In Europe? What? Funny. Funny that it's at the same time as Boris Johnson. Duncan on Twitter observes, has he gone to do that thing? He's going to get that thing. Like Mick was going to get that thing in Northern Ireland. We never found out, did we? Possibly. Pablo says, is John Bojo's new Dominic Cummings? I mean, he fits the profile. He's got swagger. He's unafraid to tell it like it is. He loves wearing sportswear in formal occasions. Could be. Quite possibly could be. Anyway, I was asking, with the fact that it was World Mental Health Day yesterday, and guys, no one is talking about mental health. No one is. It just, you can't see it. There's no conversation happening anywhere about mental health. I was wondering what in World X Day would you like to see implemented? Martin would like World Sparrow Appreciation Day. Sure, why not? I got time for that. Or World Stay in Bed Day. I've definitely got time for that. Or how about World Just Another Day Day? And he then has a go at World Auto Carrot Die. I think that's World Autocorrect Day. Every day should be that for you, Martin. And Hedy, always interesting, says World Big Spider Day. World Ingrid Pitt Day. I had to look that up. She was in lots of sort of Hammer horror films and stuff. And World Crying Over Incomplete Jigsaws Day. By the way, I am mental. Mate, thanks for talking about it. Because no one's... and Urban Bongo on Twitter says, World Daytime Chat Show Day, please. It's at Not Today Pod if you'd like to join in the conversation. A few people have been WhatsApping. You can send a video message, 07862 032 654. We've got a couple of couple of them for you.
Just thought I'd send a message through in regards to these International Day of this, International Day of that.
Yeah.
These days, people,
yeah,
should take a day off, is what I say.
Right.
Personally, I think every day should be a work day. We live in a capitalist society.
That's true.
And the only days I'll pay respect to are ones to do with A, the war,
right,
or B, Christian stuff like Jesus and Christmas and that.
Okay.
But even then, I'll just take a little bit of time off of a Christmas dinner, and then I'll be straight back to my paymasters, making them a bucket of money. Yeah. So these day people, take a day off and get at.
Good.
Oh, I think it should be World Awareness Day. Awareness Day.
Thanks very much indeed for that. Appreciate that. We've got another one in here. This is a slightly surreal one, aren't they all? Here we go. Come on.
Hello, Jake.
Hello.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Please excuse my voice, Jake, but I'm on a number of databases through no fault of my own, and I would hate to see you get demonized again if they recognized me. Sorry, I mean demonetized. I've always been very suspicious of all of these world days that seem to keep happening. I think it must have started with World Book Day. You know the one, don't you, Jake?
Yes.
You send your child to school as a minor character from a beloved children's book.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, they've been brought back by the police. They're sobbing. You've been given an official caution and you've wasted half a tin of boot polish. Of course, there are many other days now. We have wear purple for World Dementia Day, wear green for Earth Day, wear, well, something for World Colorblindness Day and so on. Anyway, my issue with all these days is a lot of them are very negative, really, when you think about it. There's Anti-Pollution Day, Anti-Bullying Day, Anti-Racism Day and so on. Why can't we have the more pro-something day? Because you know racists are people too, Jake, so why can't they get a day for themselves?
Oh,
I think World Racism Day would be a fine idea, and I know you will too, Jake. I can see your face all over it. A day where racists all around the world can learn about other cultures and people and discover how much they hate and fear them. There are people out there in the home counties now, worried about someone from India or Pakistan moving in next door, but with a bit more knowledge and understanding they could be worrying about people from Tonga or Mozambique or Eritrea as well, because there's a whole world out there to hate, and that's a message we need to spread, and transmission.
Thank you very much to that transmission, which was sent by proxy from Alex. I know that the doorbell's going. Can you wait? All right, fine. I'll be right back. I've put some music on. Hang on. Have a tune. Here we go. Thank you for holding. I mean, you know, it's a live show. You can't necessarily... Neil says he'd like World Eat What's It's In Your Pants on the sofa while watching cartoons, even though in your 40s day. That's every day for me. There's a lot of traction for That's Life with Mick Wright. I think that's a really good idea. Pablo says, that's Mick. Darren says, amusing root vegetables. Jem demands a talking dog. And Darren simply says, it's sausages. I think this could definitely work. Well done for all of that. We have got some more reaction. Jolion near Oxford has been in touch in terms of world days.
Hello, Jake.
Hello.
This is Jolion from near Oxford.
Hi.
You've asked about world days, and what I'd like to see is a celebration of our wonderful British humour as portrayed in the classic bawdy films of the 60s and 70s.
Right.
I think Carry On World Day would do so much to boost the morale of the nation and, by association, the world, as which country could possibly be uncheered at the prospect of a happy United Kingdom? Carry On World Day would allow us to get back to traditional comedic values, such as reducing a woman's presence on screen down to a selection of body parts to ogle, or enjoying the spectacle of an early middle-aged man attempting to coerce a teenager into having sex with them. What a great time for Britain it was.
It really was. Thanks so much, Jolion, and well done for saying what all the rest of us hopefully weren't thinking. Karen in Bromley.
So here's the thing, Jacob, it's me, Karen from Bromley.
Hi there.
Now, don't mind your World Mental Health Day, although my I say that every day should be Mental Health Day.
Thank you.
But I've got a cousin writer. She's also called Karen. She lives in the States.
Right.
Other day, she calls me up. She says, Happy World Aluminum Day.
Ah.
I said, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
I'll have you know I do not recognise that event, and I will wait until the 2nd of November, thank you very much, to wish you a happy British Aluminium Day.
Thank you.
No world or international days, please, just good old British days. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. And of course, let's not forget, aluminium is, even that is quite a contraction. The actual full name of aluminium is Alumini Winni Quinni Finni Finni Pinni Penisium. We just shortened it. But, you know, still too much for the Yanks. Thanks very much for all of those. I'm sure John will be back next week. I have no idea. I don't know. We'll find out. Heddy's emailed. He says, Dear Jape, have you noticed mouthwash is always coloured blue? I have. They add the blueness. It's unnecessary unless they intend to play with our minds. It should be purple because that's a holy colour. P.S. I bought a pack of 130 bamboo skewers as I wanted to plant sunflowers. I've used 7. Only one sunflower lived. Should I ask for my money back? Best regards to you and Daveness, Heddy. Thanks for that, Heddy. No idea what you were talking about. But in terms of Davey, your cousin Davey, of course, stalwart of this podcast until comparatively recently, it's okay. There hasn't been a massive fallout. But what we've done is split our hand and started a new podcast. It's called Audio Freaks. That's F-R-E-Q-S. If you haven't listened yet, there's still time. Because it's a podcast. It's just there until I stop paying for it to be hosted. So why don't you go and check it out, Audio Freaks. It's the same thing that we used to do on a Friday on this podcast. Bits of odd esoteric audio, and there's a couple of really good episodes up there. If you haven't yet subscribed, it would be great. And if you could bear to do the whole reviewing thing, it does amazing things for the algorithm, and it would sort of bump us up the charts and stuff like that, and that would be really great. I need to do some more admin on that. Anyway, it is time for us to return to a feature that I did a little bit earlier this year, last year. I don't know. Who remembers? Not me. That's B12. But it was very, very popular, and I'm thrilled to be bringing it back. See if you. It's where we talk about a video game. Do you remember this music? Yeah, I know. And this is with a very talented writer-performer, Bebe Lucille. Anyway, here it is.
Game Sex.
It's been a while, but it's great to be doing this again. Game Saves is a feature where we look at a video game that meant something to someone at some point in their life. And today we're talking to Bebe Lucille. That's right, right? I got the name right, right?
Yeah, spot on. First time.
Okay.
Some people say Bibby, which always really upsets me.
I can imagine. And you're a writer-performer. We're going to talk about your show, Meet Cute, in due course.
Hell yeah.
But first of all, what is the game that you've chosen?
So my chosen game is Best Fiends, which is pretty lame. Pretty lame.
It's not lame.
It's one of those... Oh, it really is, though. It's one of those phone app games.
Does this mean anything to you? Because I'll tell
so
you right now.
Memories.
You had me with the music. It feels like
it's
a game
brilliant.
From a certain era. in as much as like there was, it was kind of around the Peggle era, where everything was sort of happy blue sky, sweet little casual games, and they all had charming music like this running.
So true, but with that hint of adventure and danger.
Yeah, but not a lot. Let's be honest.
Not a lot. Not a lot of risk involved.
I've played a little bit of it. When I went to the loo about an hour ago. So this is... And I was a frog who had to clear some slugs out of a garden.
Yeah.
And that's about my comfortable level of peril nowadays. So so where and when did you play this game? This is Best Fiends, yeah.
So I played it for 2 years in sixth form.
Right.
And also, I mean, I've got a pretty stubborn personality, so the second I start something, I'm like, well, I've got to finish it. And little did I know, I don't know if there is an end to that game. I think it's just an endless depth of weird tasks. And I think I got to level 200.
Wow.
But yeah, it was all throughout sixth form, just like in class and waiting for the bus and before bed, like an hour before bed.
Sure.
I would say it was an addiction. I used to have dreams about it.
I'm guessing this is one of those freemium kinds of games where it says, you know, unlock more slug pellets for £3.49 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been playing quite a few of those games. And it kind of reminds me, for a long time, I was obsessed with, I called it Joyless Obsessive Dual Compulsion 8. It was actually called Gummy Drop, but it's a bejeweled clone. We just put things three in a row and then they go away and it's all tidy and you get pretty lights. And this is a similar sort of thing where you sort of draw a line and those gems that you've drawn a line along disappear.
Yeah,
right?
And it really satisfyingly pops. Yeah. Bit Candy Crushy, but I would say better.
Yeah. And at the moment I've been playing a game called Merge Dragons, which is where you put three things in a row and instead of popping, this is the angle, right? This is the twist. It makes one thing of something slightly better, sort of upgraded. So you merge three seeds and then you get a sort of little shoot and then you merge three shoots and you get a flower.
Oh, get out. That sounds unreal.
Well, you know, one of the listeners had played it. I mentioned it last week. I do a watch along and one of the listeners said, oh yeah, I've played that. I'm taking a bit of a break from it for now. I was like, what's your problem? 3 days later, having had no sleep, I suddenly understood that this is a problematic game. Like, I couldn't leave it alone. And so you had this with Best Fiends.
Yeah, very similar addiction. I think the second you actually start having dreams about it, that's when you know it's time to stop.
Yeah, every time.
And it scares me to think the amount of hours of my life that were taken, and I didn't even complete the game. That's the most heartbreaking part.
It's still there. It's waiting for you to jump straight back in. You could do it.
Don't get me hooked again.
No, okay.
Very dangerous.
It's terrible, yeah. But what was your life like then? You know, what was it about this pretty coloured world where you were annihilating slugs, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, you are vegan.
Oh, God.
You got a problem with slugs? You got a problem?
Oh, my God. I didn't even put the two together. I'm a bad vegan.
You're a bad vegan.
Maybe that was my, like, catharsism.
Okay.
Was to, if I have to be so good to animals in the real world,
then I'm going to be an absolute terror. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be a right, terror.
I think it's Red Dead Redemption, isn't it, where you actually have to skin, like, cattle.
Oh, really?
Something, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's like, I can't play that game.
It's brutal.
As a vegan. Yeah. When did you turn vegan, out of interest? I'm jumping around.
That's all right. 7 years ago, I remember on my 17th birthday, I was like, that's it, no more cheating. And because I sort of saw veganism floating around when I was 14 and I was vegetarian. So I was like, what is this weird vegan thing? If I claim to love animals, I should probably look into it. And then obviously these are all the nasty videos and agreed with like everything. But yeah, I did struggle though. I struggled for about 3 years until 17. I was just like, right.
Okay.
Enough.
So that does tie in with Best Fiends, that the yin yang, as you became more peaceable in real life, so you began the annihilation of invertebrates.
Oh my God, that's so true. I was 17 when I started playing Best Fiends.
Yeah.
Wow. You're honestly, Jake, I think you should be like a psychologist or something.
Obviously, number one job, if I didn't do this, would be proctologist, obviously. Number two, number two, psychologist. Either way, you're getting right in there and interfering with people. was it a happy time? Like, did you enjoy the sixth form? Did you enjoy school? Or were you escaping?
Yeah, escaping. So I'm not a very, depressed person, kind of always been like quite a happy kid, and then God, something about that place absolutely destroyed my soul. Yeah, so I was just so depressed for like 2 years, but I felt like I had no reason to be, because I've got such a great family and I had friends. Mm-hmm. I wasn't too much for loser. Maybe that bit with the game I was. But yeah, just a terrible time. And then I guess playing the game was all... It was a really lame rebellion against the school I hated.
Right.
It was almost like, I'm not going to listen in class because I'm just going to be on my phone all the time. Yeah. And also I had no one to talk to on my phone, so the only thing that I could do was either scroll on Instagram or play Best Fiends.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was also like the ultimate procrastination because they gave us so much work to do.
Right.
That I would just, my mind would be like... Oh.
Did you go to a different sixth form? Or was this an extension
of
school? Okay.
Yeah, so I went to a really, really great high school and then, yeah, went to that sixth form and it was just completely different.
Wow. What were you studying?
I studied drama, literature and photography. So all the sort of the ones that people don't take seriously, except for literature.
Sure. The strong vocational, sure.
Yeah. And they were they were really obsessed with like Oxbridge and getting into Russell Group universities. And I didn't want to go to university full stop. So
right.
Already that I was kind of like, oh, great. Here we go.
Yeah.
Bunch of work.
Did you go to university in the end?
No, I didn't. I sometimes wonder if that was the right choice because people say it's like the best 3 years of your life and you make amazing friends. But every time I would go and visit my friends at uni or at their uni town, I was like, I made the right decision. Like, I knew it wasn't for me.
Meet Cute, which is this, it's a one woman play. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
just me, baby.
Garnered 5-star reviews and is having a little run coming up, which we'll talk about in a minute. But tell us a bit about its inception and what it is.
So it is, I wouldn't say autobiographical, maybe more based loosely off of a true story. But because of, you know, the sheer passion for veganism, every guy I've dated, I've always been like, look, this can only go so far unless you're vegan, because it's such a core value, you know. And I had this track record of turning my boyfriends vegan. So
that's
over lockdown,
I mean, we're always looking to recruit. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this interview. And you know, there are some very long-suffering listeners to this podcast who are still staunchly omnivore. And I kind of salute them because they've endured so much of a drilling from me, of which this is part. So well
really,
done, because
yeah,
we are always recruiting, always recruiting.
Fantastic. I know, I feel like it's a new wave form of activism, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Do they love you or are they just trying to convert you? That's the big question.
Well, that's kind of a thing. I've seen a little snippet of your play and it's really good. It's got proper jokes in.
Oh, stop it.
And it's really beautifully crafted. So, yes, you said it's loosely autobiographical.
Yeah.
How many boyfriends would you say you've converted?
You know, I tried to figure this out the other day. I've only had 2 serious boyfriends in my life, and both of them, as far as I'm aware, are still vegan. And then there have been, like, flings where I've really tried to... But I feel like if it's not a relationship, it's way more difficult. So I'm going to say maybe, like, 4 that are still vegan now.
Well, I really enjoyed your book, and I think if anyone's sort of thinking, oh, it's going to be all worthy and preachy and stuff, it's really not. It's a very witty, wry, self-deprecating and self-aware thing that you've done.
Those are all my middle names.
This was it's a great play. Where can people see this play and when?
Well, so it's at the Bread and Roses Theatre in Clapham from the 19th to the 23rd. And it's on every evening at 7:30.
Okay.
And you can find all the information at meetcute.org, which is a really crappy website that I made on Wix.
Nice.
So I forgive the layout.
Everybody loves.
Please forgive the layout.
Everybody loves. All of those online. It's so simple. Simply click and drag. Build your website in minutes.
You think it was simple, but you should see the atrocity created.
No, it's great. I think basically, unless you're a hairdresser, there's no way of easily making a website. Like, they're all just designed for florists or hairdressers. So that's meet as in M-E-A-T.
Yes.
Meetcute.org. Yeah. Brilliant.
That's the one, meetcute.org. And yeah, we need audience members for Bread and Roses because the numbers are looking a bit sad.
Okay. I mean, I'd make the point.
This is my desperate plea.
Bread and Roses is a perfectly acceptable vegan starter. So you're in the right venue.
We also did a performance at the Hen and Chickens, the Hen and Chickens Theatre, which was equally sort of suited, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what verb precedes. Like if it's liberated, that's great.
What's the context?
Yeah, if it's minced.
The liberated hen and chicken.
Yeah. It's less good. Less of a starter, more of a main course. Well, listen, good luck with the run. Thanks so much for sharing your game save with us. And I'm sure people will come flocking like hens and chickens.
Sounds good.
Nine out of 10. Yeah, I'm a dad. There you go. I'm going to try and do some more of those game saves. I'm a fan. I tried to do a costume change. People observed that because that was a pre-record, it looked like I'd done a costume change. People watching on YouTube, don't forget it's youtube.com/nottodaypod. If you subscribe and click on the little bell thing, then you'll know when I'm going live. The best I could do was this. It's a wig. It's a Mohican. It's a great look. It's a really great look. We've had a nice email. It's nottoday@swanburst.com from Lindsay. She's a long-time listener over in the States. Is it Boston? Somewhere like that, Massachusetts. Is that where you live, Lindsay? I don't remember anymore. Says, hi, Jay. Your recent episode about the traditional British Christmas got me all nostalgic for the traditional American Christmas. So I made a recording about it. You're probably wondering why I didn't send this via WhatsApp. It's because I can't figure out how WhatsApp works. That's fine. Anyway, happy/merry/Christmas. Lindsay, this is a lovely little piece, I think. Very charming.
Hi, Jake.
Hi.
It's Lindsay.
Hi.
From America.
Yes.
You were talking about a traditional British Christmas.
Yes.
And that sounds really nice and all, but you really need to hear about a traditional American Christmas, because that is where it's at.
Yeah.
Traditional American Christmas starts in October or late September, around there. See, that's when all the Christmas stuff starts appearing in the stores.
We're getting there.
It starts in the back of the store. And it worms its way up to the front like some kind of a lizard or a serpent. Something weird and creepy like that. Like you're sitting there like, oh, what a nice plastic skeleton to buy for Halloween and display on the porch. Oh, that's so nice. And then you turn away. And then you look back. And it's a Santa. It's not a skeleton anymore. And you're just like, what happened? American Christmas. That's what happened. F you Halloween. F you Thanksgiving. It's time for American Christmas.
Nice.
Also, all the radio stations are going to start receiving phone calls from people saying, I know it's October, but I want to hear Christmas music.
Wow.
And I don't know how to use Spotify. Just like Lindsay doesn't know how to use WhatsApp.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen.
That's fine.
So then we get Thanksgiving. And that's when you go to your grandma's house and she serves you a turkey and you eat the turkey. And then as soon as you're done, second that you put down that fork, you get up and you run out the door to the mall. Do you help with the dishes? No. Do you help put away the leftovers? No. Do you hang out with your family? No. Of course not. Why would you do that on Thanksgiving? You go to the mall. Why do you go to the mall? Because the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, and you have to get in line so that you can be the first person in the mall to get into the Walmart to buy an overpriced television set that is on sale.
Come on. We're doing that now.
Now, this is a time-honored tradition. In America, we love Black Friday. It's what we do best. We get in line and we wait. And we fight with the people who are in line.
Nice.
Someone got like tased one year. It was crazy in Florida, I think that happened. Somebody got pepper sprayed one time, also in Florida. I know. The rest of the country, we've got to step up our game. But we can't all be like Florida.
Yeah, it just should be like Squid Game.
So that's what we do. We wait in line and we fight with the people in line. And then the minute that door opens, we trample the employee and we go running inside and we fight with people over stuff that we want to buy.
Yeah.
No lie, one time in the 90s, I saw two people fighting over a Tickle Me Elmo and it scared the heck out of me. But that's a time-honored American tradition of fighting with people over objects. So then in December, that's when Christmas really ramps up. All of that was the preamble to Christmas. December hits. What do? We turn on all the Christmas music. We turn on all the Christmas lights. We decorate. And then we watch our favorite Christmas movies.
Of course.
What are our favorite Christmas movies? Well, they are movies that truly embody all American values. So we're looking at films like Home Alone, where a small child is abandoned on Christmas by his family.
It's Christmas.
They straight up forget him.
Yeah.
And they leave the state. They go in an airplane and they leave. And he's alone in his house. And two grown adult men attempt to break in and harm that child. That's all they want to do is hurt that little kid.
It sounds so funny. I haven't seen it.
And that kid is... Actually, that kid's very smart, and I think possibly could be an engineer when he grows up. So he rigs up all these big, insane Rube Goldberg-type traps all through his house.
Yeah.
To brutally maim the two adults who are trying to kill
him. So heartwarming.
The kid is very happy about this, by the way. He relishes the violence every single second of that violence, which is nonstop, by the way. You do not get time to breathe during this movie. It's just wacky slapstick violence.
Sounds great.
Those two men should be dead.
Sounds like Die Hard.
They should be dead, really. But, you know, it's American tradition to watch a very violent movie at Christmas time. Yeah. The other American traditional movie that we love is Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay.
See, that's a movie about the Grinch, and he just doesn't really like Christmas. More accurately, he doesn't like all of the noise, is what it is. See, he lives on the top of Mount Crumpet, and all the Who's down in Whoville make so much noise that he can hear it, and it is interfering with his life. He can't sleep, he can't get stuff done, he can't concentrate because his neighbors are so dark,
I had a neighbor
noisy.
Like that.
And he's like, guys, will you stop with the noise? And the Who's are like, no, we will not stop with the noise because it is Christmas and Christmas is all about noise. Mm. Endless, incessant noise.
I couldn't flush the toilet
so the Grinch
before
is 7
a.m.
Like, fine, I will take the law into my own hands and commit several felonies.
9 a.m.
So that's what he does. He goes to Whoville. He breaks into all the houses. He steals all of the stuff, all of the toys and the decorations and all the food. He really goes overboard. He's just stealing everything at this point.
I just leave it in
and
a bucket.
The next morning he's like, there, I did it. Christmas is canceled.
Outside of
and the Who's are like, not so fast, because you didn't steal the one thing that Christmas is really all about. Our ability to make incessant noise. So they keep making noise. Also, he couldn't steal the spirit of Christmas because that lives within each of us. It's really more about making a lot of noise because that's what Christmas really is.
Just screaming.
So they just make more noise. And finally, the Grinch just sort of snaps and he's like, okay, fine. I give in. Have all your presents back. You know, have Christmas. Fine. I will just embrace the noise. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
And he embraces the noise because that is the true spirit of Christmas.
That's nice.
Browbeating another human being, or in this case, a Grinch, into celebrating.
Misophonia.
So those are some of the classic
films
that we like to watch. We also watch A Christmas Story, where a young child is on a quest to obtain a firearm for Christmas. That's really the most American.
That's what every little boy and girl wants for Christmas, isn't it?
A little kid wants a firearm for Christmas.
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't get more American than that.
That's gorgeous.
And then we also love It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart complains for 2 hours and then decides that he likes Christmas. I don't know. I always fall asleep when I watch that movie because it's boring.
Yeah, it's a terrible film.
It's very boring.
Yeah, it sucks.
And then, of course, there is Die Hard. Now, a lot of people debate whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that.
No.
What I think, though, is that the true spirit of Christmas is Bruce Willis throwing Alan Rickman off of a tall building.
Yeah.
And shouting profanities into the night as he does so. That, to me, is what Christmas is all about. So, you know, I really loved the look at a traditional British Christmas, but I wanted to share with you, my British brothers and sisters across the pond, I wanted to share with you what a true American Christmas is like. It's about consumerism.
Yeah.
And noise. And violence.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thank
God you. God bless America.
God bless America. God bless America.
God bless you guys too. You're all right.
Apparently the slogan now is "Let's make America great again, again." Did you know that? That's genuinely the slogan they're going with. Make America great again. Again, my God. Anyway, that went down very well on YouTube. Lindsay, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. That was lovely. I would like to thank Nat for bumping their subscription up on Patreon to the top tier. It's very kind of you, Nat. Going to find a way to reward the absolutely top drawer VIPs. Maybe we could, like, have dinner or something somewhere. Little secluded spot, just the checks. Four of us. Could be fun, right? Don't forget, if you'd like to support the podcast, it's patreon.com/nottodaypod. Almost pronounced all of that correctly. Well done, me. You take care of yourselves. Be back next week. Don't forget Audio Freaks. Don't forget the Vegan Life podcast. Anyway, that's all the business. All right, see you. Bye. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.